stand by. We're about to begin. Good day and welcome to the Nakilat's 1Q20 conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Ahmed Hazem. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you and your family are staying safe and healthy in these times. This is Ahmed Hazem from EFG Hermes Research, and we are pleased to host today Nakilat's 1Q2020 conference call. Today's conference will include a brief on the 1Q20 results, market updates, and will be followed up by a Q&A session. We have with us on the line today Mr. Hani Abu Akhith, CFO of the company, Mr. Fotios Zeritis, Head of Investor Relations. And with that, I'd like to hand over the call to Mr. Fotios. Please, go ahead.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon, and welcome to Nakilat's first quarter 2020 conference call. For your convenience, the transcript of this call and presentation will be available on the Investor Relations section of our website. Many of our remarks contain forward-looking statements, and for factors that cause actual results to differ materially from these forward-looking statements, please feel free to refer to the slide 2 on our Investor Relations presentation. In addition, some of our remarks contain non-IFRS financial measures. A reconciliation of this included in the note of the presentation that we have published. Now, I would like to hand it over to the CFO of Nakilat, Hani Abu Akhith.
Thank you, and welcome to Nakilat first quarter earnings results for 2020. As always, we appreciate your participation, and we are committed to continuously improve our investor relation initiatives to strengthen our communication and improve our transparency with all of our investment community. As Ahmed stated at the beginning, I wish that all of you guys are safe and staying safe and healthy through this unprecedented challenging time. Today, together with our Head of Investor Relations, Mr. Fotios Zeritis, I will guide you through this presentation. The world is confronting one of the greatest health challenges of a generation that profoundly impacted the global economy and all of its citizens. Our thoughts remain with the communities and individuals, including healthcare workers and the people who first respond to the needs of different impacted individuals. And these individuals who help us, the healthcare services, our thoughts and are always with them. The COVID-19 has disturbed the global market, including here in our region, and Nakilat's performance during the quarter of 2020. For this reason, our investor relations department had numerous calls with different global investors. Our aim was to ensure that consistent communication with capital market during this challenging time, so we can really spread the Nakilat equity story and display our defensive business model against such events that has impacted the global economy. As of today, we are happy to state that Nakilat doesn't have any or have been negatively or significantly impacted negatively due to for its operation and reliability due to this COVID-19 challenge. Our entire fleet safely continues to sail across the world, and we deliver our carrying LNG cargoes as per our charter needs and instructions. It goes without saying that Nakilat has taken COVID-19 extensive measures to ensure safe and reliable operation. We should remark that there has been no known cases of COVID-19 infection amongst our group of seagoing crews or shore-based personnel. The company established a dedicated COVID-19 task force to constantly review and amend our business continuity plan as required. Other measures include, as every other company, working from home policy, and we have a very strict guidelines for our crews when they're dealing as they start to really interact in different ports. Charter parties for all of the group term chartered vessels remain in effect with revenues as per the contract terms. Since the current situation is still too fluid, it's our duty to closely monitor the development of coronavirus pandemic and its potential impact on the global shipping of LNG. COVID-19 is one of these extraordinary times. First and foremost, we are prepared to operate under extremely adverse circumstances. We as a company operating 24/7, we have already, even from before, our own resilient business continuity and crisis management policies and procedures that is developed over the years and tested since the inception of this company. The significant economic fallout of this crisis reinforced the critical need to keep our plans, again, as I said, resilient against every other potential events, whether it was pandemics or cyber attacks or other issues. I hope I just give some high-level overview of COVID-19 implication on Nakilat and the global market. I will begin the call just to go through our financial highlight for this first quarter 2020. And then Fotios, as usual, will take you through the LNG shipping market overview. And I will try to finalize our call with question and answers at the end. As you guys see, the quarter has been good for Nakilat in terms of delivering sustainable bottom-line growth to our shareholders by executing our very well-planned business strategy. Following the strong operating performance through Nakilat's sustainable business model with a steady stream of cash flow that we have managed through this volatile market. I'm delighted to report a good company performance, both for EBITDA and net profit for the first quarter. Again, this has emphasized our ability to deliver the required results over time. Now, as you can go to slide, you can see from slide 18, our profitability has increased by 18%, which is very impressive on a quarter-to-quarter. That was mainly due to two main factors. One is the acquisition that we have done for QFlex through our the joint venture with INSW, and also what helped us very well is the strong VLGCs or the LBG vessels rate in the first quarter of 2020 compared to what has been the rate in 2019. Our EBITDA was up by 13.1% and was close to $8.2 million. Now, if I go to slide number 10 and 11, we can see a healthy balance sheet. We are reaching $32.4 billion, a cash balance of almost close to $2.4 billion. We can see that we have paid a lot of debts over the time. Since 2014, almost close to $4.7 billion. However, our debt shows an increase, and that, again, due to the accounting treatment for the consolidation of the acquired four vessels and moving from equity methods to full consolidation of the group. And our net borrowing as of end of Q1 is at 21.2 billion. Our current ratio is 1.11. Our return on equity is tracking 11.84%. Now, after taking you through this high-level financial highlight, maybe I will hand it over back to Fotios to provide us some kind of high-level also point of view or review of the LNG shipping market outlook.
Thank you, Hani. Hello, everyone. And the most important is, as the two speakers previously said, to stay safe and to take all the precautions to avoid any kind of contact with this COVID-19. Now, as Nakilat's Head of Investor Relations, I would like to emphasize that Nakilat stock is owned by large institutions, pension funds, mutual funds, and individual investors. It is important to remember that in almost all cases, the ultimate beneficiaries are individuals in our local international. Approximately 44,000 shareholders worldwide hold Nakilat stock. Many of these shareholders are teachers, police officers, firefighters, retirees, or those saving for home, for school, or for retirement. As management, we are committed to go to work every day recognizing the enormous responsibility that we have on our shoulders to maximize the returns for our shareholders. While we do not run the company worrying about the stock price in the short run, in the long run, our stock price is a measure of the progress we have made all over these years. Throughout our history, Nakilat has built its reputation of being there for our customers and communities in the most critical times. In this unprecedented environment, is no different. I will brief you all of you of how COVID-19 has affected the global LNG shipping market in the first quarter of 2020. And after, I will take you through the LNG shipping market overview that you can see our presentation from the slide 12 to 15. During the first quarter of 2020, the spot LNG shipping rates plummeted as coronavirus outbreak had an adverse impact on LNG shipping segment. As a result of this situation, in the near term, the disruptive impact of the COVID-19 outbreak on the economies of importing countries will exert downward pressure. Over time, the lower LNG prices should stimulate the demand, and eventually it will increase the shipping requirements in the long term. Now, if you turn to the slide 13 of our presentation, you will see that the global LNG trade has grown rapidly over the last few years. This happened because it was driven by the ramp-up of new liquefaction projects in Australia, in the United States, and the surging demand in Asia. According to Wood Mackenzie, the LNG supply is expected to grow by around 25 million tons in 2020. The current LNG output has not been affected, but in the long term, it's uncertain how these changes could impact the production. Wood Mackenzie expect the global LNG trade to increase by 12% until 2022. China remains the major source of global LNG demand in the following years. As per Wood Mackenzie, China's LNG demand is estimated to increase at 127 million tons in 2040, compared to 60.6 million tons in 2019, which implies an increase of 110% in the next 20 years. Please look at the slide 14. You can see a high-level summary of LNG shipping market update for the first quarter of 2020. In combination with already soft LNG pricing as a result of higher production, COVID-19, and OPEC-driven low oil prices, the LNG shipping rates have softened and the market expects the charter rates to remain soft throughout the summer, possibly experiencing some uplift in the next half of the year. We should mention that Poten & Partners shipbrokers currently assess the one-year LNG shipping charter rate at $62,000 per day for the ME-GI or X-DFs, $52,000 per day for DFDEs, and $30,000 per day for steam vessels. This is a very helpful benchmark when we're discussing term charter opportunities. Please turn to slide 15 of our presentation. After showing strong new build ordering in momentum in 2019, we can see that the new LNG ship orders have dried up in the first quarter of 2020, with only nine LNG vessels on order. In the first quarter 2020, the LNG's new build cost averaged approximately at $186 million. As of March 2020, only four vessels have been delivered, with a further 35 scheduled for delivery this year. Furthermore, you can see that the global LNG fleet has 510 vessels in operation and another 125 vessels on the order book as per Clarksons. These numbers imply an increase of 25% of total LNG fleet in terms of number of fleets as of March 2020. Only the 40% of the order book are charter-free vessels and available to be absorbed by the market. The current LNG fleet age profile is approximately 11 years old. We have to mention here that, as a final note, that market participants believe that the market may be balanced in 2020, but with limited arbitrage opportunities around the world, there could be a ton-mile compression leading to some excessive supply. As always, we encourage transparency with our shareholders in terms of what they should expect regarding the LNG shipping market in 2020 and afterwards. For this reason, we want to mention, of course, we do not know how this crisis will ultimately end, including how long it will last, how much economic damage it will create, or how fast or how slow the recovery will come. However, we, as the world's largest LNG shipping company, have tremendous market intelligence and numerous tools in our hands to navigate through this unprecedented storm. Now, I would like to hand it back to Mr. Hani Abuaker, our CFO, to give you an insight into Nakilat's business outlook. Hani, please go ahead.
Thanks, Fotios. Okay, now, if we move to slide 17, I will take you through our business outlook for 2020, but I will keep it short in order to move on with the questions, because I think we have already given you a full overview of Nakilat financial results for the Q1 and the explanatory picture of COVID-19's implication on our operation and all potential performance of our company. In 2020, as of today, we expect that we should really be able, as a company, with the strength of our balance sheet and with the operational excellence that we have, that we're going to be able to weather this unprecedented challenging period and hopefully, potentially, by we should really have another successful year for Nakilat. This is for sure due to the management focus to expand its own core LNG shipping business and what we have done over the last couple of years, and also how we really monitor and try to really mitigate any potential impact on our operating expenses due to COVID-19. Also, all the challenges that we are facing currently in our shipyard due to COVID-19, we have already taken and started implementing some measures to minimize the negative impact from slower activities in our shipyard group or segments. What you should expect over the next three quarters, first, as of today, you should really expect that the full impact of our acquisition that we had in October 2019, and also our new jointly owned vessel that's going to be delivered in the second half of this year. Other than that, I think it is going to be more about for us to manage our cost and to optimize as much as we can to ensure that if potentially any negative impact that comes in the future is being we are being ready for it. Before we open the floor for a question, I would like to raise a point about that we have added an extra slide in our IR presentation. Please illustrate what was the impact of our OSG acquisition revaluation of the assets as per the international financial, as per the international accounting standards, and what are the write-offs and that we have taken, and how this one-off gain was kind of neutralized with the other contingency that we have taken. The reason we have added that one, because some of you guys, with after discussion with them, they told us they need a further elaboration, and we felt this is prudently good measures that for us to really present it to you, so at least you can see the impact from all. With that, I'll open the floor for questions, so please go ahead.
Yes, if you'd like to ask a question on today's call, that is star one on your telephone keypad. We'll go first to Jonathan Mallon with Waha Capital.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for taking the time for the call. Just a few basic questions on my end. How much of your revenue from wholly owned vessels would you say are based on a floating rate? Because from my understanding, is 90% maybe is 25-year fixed charter, and any of these 25-year fixed charter expiring anytime soon? The second question is, I mean, again, from my understanding that you've fully acquired four of these jointly owned vessels, which is why revenue from wholly owned vessels is up so much, but how come share of results of JV is also up? I would have thought it would drop by a similar amount.
Okay, let me make sure that I really captured your questions. First of all, our wholly owned vessels, actually all of them are on a long-term charter contracts of 25 years, and we started with these vessels back in 2007 and 8, so there's still around 12 to 15 vessels, depends when the delivery has happened. We have some even on our jointly owned, also they are most of them in the long-term contract. Some with international customers, not with Qatar Gas, also in the medium to long-term contracts, which is, you can say, between 7 to 10 years. And we have some, maybe one or two or three vessels that usually on like a couple of years or 3 years contract. The question that you have asked basically is about how come the jointly owned results looking good. I think the main contributor to that is basically the LPG rate. Last year, the LPG rate was almost, you can generate around $30,000 per day rate on average in the first quarter. This year is almost about 50 to 60.
Sorry, the line broke off a bit. So LPG rates were very low last year, and sorry, can you please repeat that?
Yeah, the LPG rates last year were very low. So basically, we had almost, you know, we have moved actually from losing on that segment, okay, to actually making almost 200% of that loss of that amount that we've done last year. So let's say if we were losing like something between 5 to 10 million, this year we made actual profit almost 5 to 10 million. So significant improvement in the rate. And that's what helped us in the joint venture level to show better results and offset what was taken out of the joint venture level because of the INSW acquisition.
That's the 50-50 JV with Milaha?
Exactly, yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll go next to Samir Darwish with AM Wall.
Hello, how are you?
Great.
Hello.
Good. Just a couple of questions on my part. On the debt side, would you can you please tell us what's the percentage of your debt that is fixed versus floating rate?
Okay. So you have to ask. You have two questions, but I will answer this question first. You can say on average between 75% and 80% for the whole group, whether the wholly owned or jointly owned, are fixed debt.
Fixed debt. Okay, and but would you mind saying us what's the so it's around 4% cost of debt area, Arriba?
Sorry, can you say that? Can you repeat your question, please?
What's the cost of debt on it? On average.
Okay, on average, it goes between 4 to 5% of the head size.
Okay, so it is 4%. Okay. Just another question. The fixed rate you have on your contract, is it linked to an inflation index where you can increase it every year, or how does it work exactly?
Yeah. Just in the simple terms, our time charter contract has two elements. Has the CapEx element, which is usually we target some rate of return, internal rate of return, over the life of the contract to achieve something close to between 11 and 14% IRR. We have another OPEX element, okay, and that OPEX element is being inflated on an annual basis based on agreed inflation rate, whether it's U.S. inflation or it's a fixed percent, some of the ventures or the entities or companies. So this is are the two. This is the only part that is being inflated on an annual basis.
Okay, just two more questions from my part. Does your contract also include like some force majeure? Force majeure clause?
Clause?
The payment force majeure. Yeah,
I understand. Yeah. Any contract in the world, definitely it has a force majeure clause. However, we foresee as a company as a management that it is our force majeure is not really relevant for us in the time being, and also we do not foresee any potential as of today, comfortably we can say that.
And one last question from my part on maintenance capex. How should we look at it from your side, excluding any acquisition, or how, what's your guidance on maintenance capex?
Yes, maintenance capex. You should really think about it. If we exclude the acquisition that we usually announce on it, usually every 5 years, because we have a big fleet, we have a number of vessels go through the dry dock. Usually these large vessels, the dry dock could range between $4 to $5 million each. And that's all of it is also taken into the economics when we lock in into these long-term charter contracts. So that usually is the capex of what we call it, the 5-year cycle of a dry dock, or we call it the repair and maintenance, the major maintenance capex item in our balance sheet.
Okay, thank you.
Which is also, I would like to highlight something that this cost, it's a kind of, has been already gone through the first cycle. So you won't see that impact because now it's already capitalized, depreciated. So once it's depleted, it goes back again into sort of being capitalized and being depreciated. So all the impact has already is been gone through the first and second cycle. So you should not really usually see this kind of difference in the amount. Okay?
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
We'll go next to Santosh Kumar Gupta with Brewery.
Hi. Thanks a lot for the nice presentation. I think last time when we during the last quarter's presentation, you had suggested that we are expecting delivery of 2 new build vessels in second half of this year. So I just wanted to understand if are we still on schedule to receive those vessels in second half, keeping in view the COVID-19 crisis that we are foreseeing.
Yes. Butchis, you want to take that or shall I take it?
Yes. Hello, Santos. As we have discussed, hello, Santos, how are you? Good. Hopefully you stay safe.
Yeah.
So based on your question, we are expecting actually one vessel to come in the few months, by May, the next 2 months, let's say. And the second one will be at the end of the year. It will come December, January.
Okay. So in another word, Santos, in another word is basically we're still on expected schedule of delivery of these vessels. Santos, you have to understand our nature of business. We always, as I always tell people, we work on a 24/7 anywhere in the world on a moving target called our vessels. So we are very well prepared for to weather such unforeseen challenge or incidents, such as this COVID-19. So we have our own measures in place. We have our own business continuity plan in place, and these ones was already there, regardless whether it was a COVID-19 or any other incident. So yes, we're still on plan, maybe on plan. That means, assuming no other internal factor, let's postpone it a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. But we're still on plan to take these ones, and we have taken into consideration the impacts of COVID-19.
Okay, thanks a lot. I had only this question.
Jonathan Mallon with Waha Capital.
Hi, if I may please ask just a follow-up question. On the breakdown of borrowings, you say that senior bank facilities of $11.4 billion, supposedly they expire December 2025. And just looking at the cash flow, it seems like the repayment per year is half a billion or so. So is there a bullet payment at the end of December 2025, and are you most likely going to refinance it with the banks or a sukuk or something of that sort?
Yes, that's what we do if we have any of these contracts or any of these loans that they're about to expire, and we still have years that left in our charter party contract. We have some of our joint ventures, or with some of the, one of the joint ventures that we jointly owned had similar refinancing with a bullet payment, and we were able to really achieve a very strong and competitive rate, and we're very appreciating the long-term contract we have. So yes, we will, if that is bullet payment is coming due on any of our facility, and we are having our contract still there. So yes, we will do that.
And furthermore, from now until then, your yearly payments, debt payments, are going to peak at around 1.1, 1.2 billion reals, or could it be more? And I mean, is there a risk to dividends? I think is the ultimate question that I have.
Okay, great. No, I don't foresee any risk for dividend due to our ability to deleverage our balance sheet. I think we believe that we can service the debt, and when this debt comes in, we can really, you know, refinance it for the remaining terms of the contract. So I really don't see any reason. And also, you have to notice something. Huh? Now we're almost in 2025. These vessels will be almost around 17 years. They still have 8 years for the remaining of the contract. But after that, these vessels still have additional 10 to 15 years life, and they are very important to our charter. So I think I do not foresee any potential risk that we are running short of cash, because the banks will, as we have seen in the last this year, that they were very happy to finance our vessels, you know, supported by the current contract. So the financing will be to match the maturity of our time chartered party contract. So I don't see any reason or any risk for us not being able to really finance on the backdrop of our contract. So yeah. So I believe still there's no dividend. There's no concern about the dividend from that angle.
Okay, and you're saying the vessels could last another 10 to 15 years after the end of the life of the contract. So for a total life of 40 years for the vessel.
Yes, yes. But however, our loan, the debt that is built up for that vessel is only for 25 years. So basically, when we refinance the bullet point, it's really built in the economics, and we still have another, you know, 15 years that we can leverage these vessels. So we have a lot of flexibility in ensuring that we have the right liquidity in place for us. And again, not only just because of the life of the vessels, that 15 years after the finish of the contract, is because in 2025, when they have a bullet payment, the portion that is going to be left on these contracts is going to be almost about 8 years of worth of debt that we can finance against the contract that we have with our charter.
Okay, excellent. And you said you expect more to have more vessels delivered this year. Could you please elaborate on that? And are they also with Ras Laffan, with the Qatari entities, or are they with other multinational entities, the contracts that you expect to place them with?
I will take Hani.
Sure, go ahead.
Yes, as we have, as we have announced in the previous conference call that we said, we have actually total four vessels, new builds, but two vessels who are under construction will come at the second half of 2020. One vessel of these two will come in the next few months, 1-2 months, and the other at the end of the year. We are committing, we are collaborating with our construction yards. We have taken all the precautions actions to make sure that this vessel will be delivered safely with all the required crew, etc. So, yes, hopefully they will come the second half.
And they, are they already contracted with an entity? And is it Qatar, a Qatari entity or a non-Qatari entity?
We are the owners with Maran. However, if you mean do you mean who is the charterer or what? If you mean.
Yeah, with the charter, I meant. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay. We are currently under commercial negotiation with charterers, but we cannot disclose further on that because our responsibility to keep confidential commercial issues.
Fair enough. Thank you very much.
And at this time, there are no further questions. The call back to the speakers for any closing remarks. I do apologize.
Hi, Jennifer.
Yes, we do have one question from Ramzi Zadani with HSBC.
Hello. Hello. Hi, gentlemen. Thank you for the thank you for your time. Just on the new vessels, is there? Can you share any information or can you help us think of the rates that you would be achieving? How should we think of the rates versus the current contracts you have in place?
Go ahead.
Look, as you understand, there is an international market about the LNG shipping. So you can see how do the market indicates the long-term contracts, how it indicates the short-term contracts. You have to understand that, however, the company always looks to a specific has a specific investment criteria and always looks a vessel not only for now, looks a vessel for that it can trade for 35 to 40 years, and the expected IRR, as always have said, it's between 11% to 13%. Obviously, this thing it depends on many factors. It depends how long the duration of the contract. It depends on the credibility of charterer. It depends on the trading routes, the size of the vessels. So we cannot give you a kind of specific economics on that. But I believe that what you really need to look is that the expected IR for this vessel for the next years, in long term, it will be 11 to 14% leverage IRR.
Okay.
I hope I answered your question.
Yes. And has the JV already been formed, or do you need to invest any equity in the JV?
The JV has, Sure. The JV has already been formed. As the vessels is being constructed and delivered, there's a lot of milestones kind of payment that we do pay and fund the JV to pay these vessels. So I hope I answered your question.
So no payments have been done already?
No, there's some payments has been done already for these vessels because they are we fund them as our equity contribution earlier as an equity contribution, and that's what has been done so far. But remember, they're coming in a staggered way. Like they're coming one in towards maybe June or May.
Sure.
End of May or June, and one is almost end of December, and the other two coming on 2021. Just to answer the question about the rates, and I think Fotios has really elaborated. We always look for a levered rate of return, something that we target between 11 and 14. That's what we say. And that's exactly if the market, that's what has been the case when the rates was almost $150,000 and $200,000 per day. Everybody was locking the vessels at a rate of a long-term rate to generate sort of that rate of return. If you want to go into the spot, yes, you might be exposed for a couple of months, 3 months, whatever it is. But usually when you lock it, usually you lock it at a rate that's supposed to be sustainable. I hope we answered your question.
That's very clear. Thank you.
We'll go next to Nicole Ora with Franklin Templeton.
Yes. Hi, Hani, and hi, Fotios. Thank you so much for hosting the call. A couple of questions from my side. First one is in continuation of the last gentleman's question. So you said leveraged IRR of 11 to 14%. Can you help us understand what kind of leverage are we assuming here versus equity contribution for these vessels? Secondly, can you tell us what kind of vessels are these? I see that you are saying these are new-build LNGCs. But which ones exactly, like MEGI, or is it the XDF, or is it like a QMAX? So third question that I have is if you can elaborate something on the North Field expansion, because we have been kind of reading that it has been delayed by 1 year. So what does that mean for you guys? And when can we expect that leg of the expansion to begin? Thank you.
Okay, I'll take question number one and question number three, and then leave the one in the middle for Fotios to elaborate. Usually, for any shipping, LNG shipping, you can really do something called 20-80. 20% equity, 80% debt from the banks. If you have a longer contract, you can even go 90-10. So basically 10% equity and 90% debt. So this is why your leverage usually will become better and move from 10 to 14%. So, however, we have seen some vessels on the low end, maybe they're going to 75 debt and 25 equity, so it really depends. Usually we would like to target something around 20-80, that's the number. In regards to the North Field expansion, I think this is something usually is Qatar Petroleum and Qatar Gas comment on from time to time. For us, is basically as our customer, we would like to always serve them, and we have a long-term relationship with them. So it's up to them to really decide and to plan their time and their schedule We as a global shipping company, and over the last 5-6 years, we've been, even through some of our joint ventures, we were able to lift international capacity to ensure we have sustainable growth for our company. Futias, you can take the second one.
Yeah. Can you please repeat the second one? I'm sorry about that because it was a long question, so I missed it. Can you repeat it, please, one? Hello?
Sorry, the second question was, so what I was trying to ask you is on the new vessels again. So you said
yes.
That the commercial terms are under negotiation. So yes. We understand the confidentiality part, but can you at least tell us whether these vessels are kind of in anticipation of new business, or are you quite certain that you will get this business?
As we discussed also previously, we, as the world's largest LNG shipping company, you know, we have a strong relationship with our current charterers and potential new ones. We are currently under negotiation with our charterers. Maybe it's more than one. So we don't actually like to disclose specific items, how we compete for these businesses, because there is a kind of sensitivity with our charterers or with companies who are willing to charter these vessels. So we try actually to keep all, it's a practice in shipping actually, to do not disclose confidential issues with our charterers. So we still keep it ongoing, and we'll inform you when we have something firm.
Okay, thank you. And sorry, what's the kind of vessels these are, like based on the propulsion method? Is it an MEGI?
Four of the vessels are the new technology, are 2 MEGIs and 2 XDFs.
Okay, all right, thank you.
We'll go next to Maya Bukia with Schroders.
Hi, Hani. Hi, Fotios. Thank you for the call. I just wanted to confirm, you mentioned that 75 to 80% of the total debt is fixed, but the debt on the balance sheet is mostly fixed, right? Hello? Hello?
Sorry. Yeah, I will take that. The debt of the balance sheet should be also trending between around that range of 75 to 80%. Usually when we quote about the number of up to 80%, that's also including our jointly owned vessels. So I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, great. Also wanted to get the outlook on LPG for the rest of the year. Do you see this trend in Q1 continuing?
Look, Maya.
Given everything we've discussed.
sorry, Hani, I will take it or you will take it?
No, you can take it.
Okay. Look, Maya, generally speaking, with this COVID-19 and all these things that are happening around the world, nobody can be certain with anything, and whoever try to actually forecast something or to take the chance to say something, for sure it will be very challenging and not certain. I can tell you that until now the LPG has improved from last year. However, we have to see how it will continue this trend, and many things around the world change. You know, COVID-19 has influenced Europe, has influenced the price of oil. So we cannot be certain. I can tell you that we will see a kind of volatile market in LPG, and because the arbitrage opportunities will be, let's say, tighter for the next quarter, but the long-term picture is favorable if you see in the long term. Hopefully I answered your question.
Yeah, that's very clear. Also, one more thing to ask about is the shipyard activity. I mean, has this seen any disruption from the COVID-19 crisis? I mean, I do know that last year we had a drop in activity due to increased insurance premiums on tankers being in the region. So year on year, probably that would mean lower impact. But, I mean, are we going to turn into another loss for the shipyard this year?
Okay, I will start on a good note about the LPG rate. If you look at the LPG rate as of today, it's still strong numbers, you know, despite what's happening around the world and even about oil or COVID-19. So, you know, let's keep our finger crossed and hopefully things will continue. For the shipyard, it is we are negatively impacted of this COVID-19 due to the ability of the vessels to visit and for the service engineers to come in and to do that. But as we have said before, we've been, I think, the contribution, we will try to minimize that exposure from that segment as we've done that before. We were expecting hopefully this year to become even a better performance. But again, the shipyard business is always, it's a something that can contribute 2 to 3% up or down, or even sometimes being neutral to our performance. So we will continue to do what is best for us in that segment. And hopefully, let's hope that the LPG rate will continue or at least be as strong for the next couple of two quarters. Then they should really offset all the potential impact or negative impact that the shipyard has our performance as a group.
Great. I guess I'll just ask the last question. I know you've discussed this over many other questions, but I understand you're currently in negotiations for the new vessel. But I'm thinking in case you do not reach an agreement before the time the vessel gets delivered, what alternative do you have? Would you be placing these vessels in the spot market?
All options are open because you have to understand, you know, like even sometimes potentially the expectation for us about the delivery to a specific charterer, you might be there might be a difference of a couple of weeks or 1 month of the delivery of that vessel to that specific charter. So usually we try to do what's best for us during that time.
I would like to add also to understand, Naya, that these assets are have a very long life, 35 to 40 years. So always when we invest in this type of assets, we look the long-term value. It's not something that we look only for now. That's it.
Great. Thank you so much for the question, for answering my questions, and stay safe.
You too.
And At this time, there are no further questions. I do apologize. We'll go next to Nicole Laura with Franklin Templeton.
Yes, hi, gentlemen. Sorry, it's me again. If I may ask a couple of more questions. On the slideshow again, on the last new slide that you have added, where you have shown some contingency provisions taken for Gulf LPG, NCOM, and NDSQ. And then going into 2020, could we expect more of these, or were these like completely one-offs? Because I think these kind of relate to your shipyards, which are not generating probably enough ROE.
Yes, no, you shouldn't really expect any of these things in the future. We were, to be honest with you, very conservative, because when we did the acquisition and the revaluation of the current assets of the OSG, even we looked at some of the transition costs that the infrastructure that we have built for our own LNG and to transfer the operation. So the ones from the shipyard, we insured over time that if there's any sort of impairment to some of the machines because of the lifetime. So I think it was more of being the conservative. If any potential things could happen in the future, we brought it down to 2019 and we really let it go. So if things that is still being used, if things are still performing very well, you're still going to see and reap that benefit in the future coming by having lower depreciation. So, for instance, LPG rates is doing phenomenal results for the shipping company. However, due to maybe some of the people who doesn't understand the segment, the value of these vessels sometimes go below the expected market. But no, we don't foresee anything potentially happen in the future. This is just like what I said, it made our balance sheet stronger. If we're quite conservative by really, reducing potential future depreciation expenses, that's all what it's going to do, to be honest with you, if I see it from a kind of economical point of view.
Okay, all right, thank you for that. And I think you mentioned this during the call, but it wasn't very clear to me. So you said that the wholly owned vessels are all on 25-year charters, so which means that the first expiry of those will be somewhere in the 2030s. And then you also said that on the JV front, some of the vessels are on 7 to 10-year contracts. But could you tell us, like, what's the kind of weighted average, let's say, tenure on the JV side? And if you can confirm if I'm right on the wholly owned vessel side.
No, let me elaborate a little bit more, and then Putius can even elaborate further if he can clarify. When I'm saying 25, okay, we have 25 wholly owned with Qatargas, with Qatargas, the charterer, and we have another 29. We have 25 wholly owned. Now they are 29 after the four INSW vessels. And we have now another 25 jointly owned that's also chartered to Qatargas over 25 years. However, we have almost like 5 to 6 or 7 vessels that is being chartered to a different international charter, and they're not a Qatari charter. And these are the ones that I'm talking about that we have 7 to 10 years, and we have some for 5 years and some 1 or 2 or 3 that they are now on a, they are or been on a 3 year charter contract. So I hope I really elaborated better this time.
Yes, that's very clear. Thank you so much for that. And just one last question from my side is that I see in your 2019 annual report that you mentioned something called NSQL managed vessels, and then you write them separate to the wholly owned vessels. Can you just elaborate what's the difference between the two, and what does NSQL management really mean? Thank you.
Okay, the NSQL basically is our operating shipping arm company. So we have Nakilat Inc., which is a legal structure that owns the company, but we have our operating arm, which is called Nakilat Shipping Qatar Limited. So Nakilat Shipping Qatar Limited is operating currently all of our wholly owned, not all of them, but just around 14 vessels, and now we're going to receive another 7, and the new ones, and one of the officer you in the future. Plus, they operate 4 LPG vessels that we jointly owned with Milaha. So it's our operating company, because in shipping, you always have an owner, ship-owning company, and ship-operating company. So I hope I explained it very well.
Yeah. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
And at this time, there are no further questions.
Okay, thank you, operator. I think we don't have any further questions. Mr. Henny and Mr. Fotios, if you'd like to close with some closing remarks for the call.
Okay, first of all, thank you all. And please, if you have any further questions or clarifications, Fotios and myself always are reachable, and please feel free to talk to us. So thank you again for taking the time and participating in our conference call. Once again, please stay safe and healthy. And we're looking forward in the near future to see you again in person, hopefully in a very near future. All your questions and concerns is usually, as we said before, we discuss it with our management, and we highlight with our CEO to understand how better we can address your recommendation or concern. Again, at the end, we think we're going to all go through this unprecedented situation, and looking for you guys to see you in the near future, and I leave it for Fotios.
Thank you so much, guys, for participating during this challenging time. Please stay safe. Try to take care of yourself and your families. Definitely, we highly appreciate your attendance in this call. We always encourage you to reach us through calls, telephone, whatever you can to us. All your questions were well received, and we will make sure that we'll communicate the capital market feedback to Nakilat's top manager. Thank you so much for taking your time to join us, and please stay safe. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Henry. Thank you, Mr. Fotios. With that, we'll end the call.
Thank you. This does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation.